Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, Colin Trevorrow is out. We just got back from an amazing weekend at Dragon Con, and we're here to tell you all about it. Let's do it right now. Well, hello. Hey, howdy. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad you've joined us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. It's episode 297 of the podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. And I'm going to bring him in right now. We got some great co-hosts for you guys. Tell you what, I'm pooped, guys. It's been a crazy weekend. It's been a crazy week. Since the last time I got on this here podcast, I was in New York for a Star Wars event, and then I was back here for Dragon Con, and we're going to tell you guys all about it, but let's start out. Let's bring him in. He's my good co-host, my good friend, my good fan. I'm curious to see what his fourth Friday haul was. It's Mark Herleman.
My poor Spidey. Hey, everybody. It's like Umbar out here, man. I'm covered in smoke. It's crazy. Just crazy. Everybody's hunkered down in my studio to get away from the smoke because we forgot this morning that the AC was not switched to on constantly for the fan. So when it got too cold last night, we dropped the temp and the fan shut off and the smoke started to creep in. It was like, why is it smoky in the house? Yeah, it sucked. It's been a smoky, smoky day.
Without any details, in comparison to Force Friday 1 with The Force Awakens versus now, thumbs up or down, better or worse?
Oh, I gotta say worse.
Worse?
If I just did a generalization, and we will get to more of that later.
Mm. Yes, we will. He's not going to get to that part because he's only here for the first segment, but we got to get him in. It's this week's producer. this podcast producer. It's Bruce Gibson.
Now, we can keep it going where maybe every week we decide if I'm going to be the producer or not.
It's like an ongoing reality show.
It almost could be like directors at Lucasfilm.
Oh,
all right, hang on. I can't say.
I'm not a single
word. Let's get into the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
You can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
That was well played, Mr. Bruce Gibson. Colin Trevorrow is out in a move that shocked, well, nobody.
For the first time ever, our little news bumper, like palpitating, saying, come closer, I've got good news. I was like, ooh, I've been seeing a lot of that across my feeds. Like, I don't really know how I feel about this, guys. To be truthful, I don't really feel like I have enough information to base a solid opinion.
Yeah. No, that's Well, Bruce, what's your opinion? Colin Trevorrow gone. In fact, with a very, very short statement from Lucasfilm as well. I don't know. What do you think? Where are you, Bruce, on this?
You know, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what was it? A few weeks ago, a month ago, they brought in somebody else to do some rewrites, which, you know, really isn't all that unusual during a film. But, I mean, seriously, it's like, maybe I'm not surprised because this is the third time it's happened. I mean, we had Josh Trank with apparently the Boba Fett film. Then we had Lorden Miller from the Han Solo movie. And now, okay, Colin Trevorrow. And the fact that his last movie, The Book of Henry, didn't do that well. I remember when I heard that news, I was like, ooh, that might not look good for Colin for the Star Wars movies. And I can say I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed because it really is getting old. It's getting to that point where it's like, what is Lucasfilm doing? They're hiring directors and then they don't like what they're doing, so they're going to go and shop for another director? Or are they just changing all their plans? They were going to go one way with directors and what, they're going to bring the old guard in? They brought in Ron Howard, so what's next? Steven Spielberg or Francis Ford Coppola? I mean, what's going on? I don't know. We're having too much trouble in the movie making period here that we're firing writers, firing directors. It's getting to be a little too much chaos that makes me it doesn't leave me with a lot of confidence right now.
Makes you a little nervous, right? I mean,
that's shaking.
that's where I'm at. I'm just like, okay, is this due to the direction of the story based off of Carrie Fisher's death, for example? I mean, that could be one reason alone where the change is forced upon where they've decided to take the story, because they said they're not going to go CG. They said they're not going to recast. So what if Colin was like, dude, the family said we could do the CG. Let's do the CG. We can do this. And Disney's like, no. I mean, there's so many angles at play with the 18-word statement that we got from StarWars.com. It's really hard to determine. I mean, it does put me in the same boat, though, with you, Bruce, where it's like, okay, now this is becoming a recurring theme. Like, you know, I know people that say in Lucasfilm we trust, but it's like, what? I don't know, man. I don't know. I've been bamboozled before. I was told one continuity.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing that I have a problem with. When you're a director and you're coming in to do a Star Wars movie, especially a movie within the saga, there's a certain style, there's a certain way that these movies are made. You're not coming in going, okay, I have this whole new vision. I'm going to shoot this movie totally different from the others. It won't even look like a Star Wars movie. No, you're coming in knowing that there's a certain template, a certain look, a certain style, a certain way to create these movies. So these creative differences, I'm not really sure where that comes in, because I know Colin has something to do with the script, but, I mean, he's not just the only writer on this script. I mean, is the creative difference on the directing, or is it the script writing?
Let's get into the specific wording here from the press release. Quote, Colin has been a wonderful collaborator throughout the development process, but we have all come to the conclusion that our visions for the project differ. We wish Colin the best, and we'll be sharing more information about the film soon. That's it. That's like the shortest statement ever. Mm-hmm.
And we still know more about that film's title than we do the Han Solo story.
Well, true. I don't. I'm not unhappy that Colin Trevorrow, the director, is out. But I do think it's absolutely fair to be concerned as a Star Wars fan as to what the creative process is. And I think it would be helpful if I were Lucasfilm. I would be more willing to be a bit more open with the process of the story as it develops. Do you think, Mark, do you think would it help if they were more open about like the process or the scripts or the rewrites or the behind the scenes and the making of, just to kind of let fans know more, or is preserving the mystery better?
I think in general, the more you let the fans know, the happier this fan base is. But I understand why Disney is probably pushing the narrative of we don't talk about it. You know, I mean, they're big on the magic of, and that behind the scenes stuff needs to be like a bonus feature on a DVD kind of thing, you know, not something shared across the internet. And I think that's the biggest change for our fan base is we're used to, you know, Lucasfilm giving us titles for books and titles for things in advance, knowing when the dates are and all this kind of stuff, and kind of getting that background information. Some people are starting to feel a little, I don't know, knee jerk about it, you know? Granted, there's always been that reaction, but it feels like there's a lot more people that are like, oh man, what's going on?
And then there's this creative situation where they tell directors, at least from what I understand, directors are coming in and they're saying, hey, you know, it's your movie. You're going to tell the rest of the story. And of course, there's certain parameters around it. And so a director comes in and is like, oh, man, I'm going to write, you know, episode 9 and I'm going to do this. And then they come out and they might, and I'm not saying that Colin had some weird ideas, but you know, if they come to the table and they say, okay, here's the idea. Luke is on the island. He's having a clam bake and all the Jedi ghosts come up and they start breaking open lobsters and they're all, and then, you know, Lucasfilm's like, no, that's not the direction we're going to go in. And the director's like, but you gave me full creative control. And you know, this is where I want to go with this. And now you have this clash. But Lucasfilm should never open the doors and say, you're going to have full creative control. It should be, okay, you're going to create something, and then we have to approve it.
I think they're learning that for all the films moving forward.
Because Gareth Edwards said he was given full creative control, which we know we made that there was changes
made. Yeah, that's not true.
One later.
There's no way that's
right. That's not fully true. But whatever control he did have, whatever concepts he came up with, they liked. And then, or they steered him in a different direction. He was willing to compensate and make those changes where some other directors don't want to because it's got their names on it. It's like they have their own reputation saying, I don't want to make a movie that I think is going to suck, or that's not my style, so I don't want that associated with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's true. And it's interesting because the movie making process is so complicated with a film of this scale and size.
Soon till we get the news that the replacement's in? I mean, we had to wait, what, 2 days?
Yeah, it was like you blinked and they announced Ron Howard.
And you've got more room till the release date with this than you did with the Han Solo movie, so maybe they're not going to go as
well. Yeah, this is not like halfway through filming, fortunately. At least there's that.
The same point though, this one hinges more for a trilogy. I mean, this is the wrap up, you know. So maybe this is the one we bring Spielberg in for.
Yeah, I get this. I mean, I wouldn't be at all opposed to that. I like the idea of getting a very experienced peer of George Lucas to wrap up this trilogy. I like that.
Robert Zemeckis. That's my prediction.
Right now. Are you serious? You think so?
It just came to my mind. I didn't think through it. It just came to mind. The Force is telling me this.
The Force is telling me this. I could see that. I don't know. We'll stay tuned. It's interesting because I don't really think there isn't a lot to pick at it. Like, there's just not a lot of information. We'll just stay tuned. We'll see who the director they pick is, and we'll see the direction they go as they release more stuff. I'll tell you this. You know, with Han Solo, we know way more about the aesthetic and design and a lot more fun tidbits of the behind the scenes since Ron Howard took over because he's freaking posting pictures of the set every day. Which I'm not opposed to at all. I love it. I love all the tidbits we've been getting from Ron Howard.
Hey, speaking of tidbits, so don't you guys have some Dragon Con tidbits?
Yes, we do.
I'm like dying for some Dragon Con. I'm getting all the smoke from the Khaleesi, but I'm not getting the fire from the dragon.
Yeah, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. Yeah.
Dracarys.
So Dragon Con, it's a thing. Dragon Con is my home. Is the home convention. Bruce, I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, while Celebration is my favorite convention as a Star Wars fan, Dragon Con has a special place in my heart as just the home convention. I absolutely love going to Dragon Con every year and wouldn't miss it unless I absolutely
Well, that's because it's basically in your backyard.
It literally is in my backyard, one, so it's convenient.
But and we know, like, Riley, do you have a hammock and a tent for me to use? I'm coming.
I know, right? Right? No. There's always the adjacent hashtag BlantonCon, which is everyone who comes and stays at our house during DragonCon, which is always an exciting time. This year was no different. We had a bunch of friends come down. Bruce, you were there. We were there throughout the whole weekend. And the thing about DragonCon that makes it unique and awesome is the Star Wars track, the Star Wars fan programming. Because there's a lot of really creative and interesting fan panels that are a lot of fun. And it also doesn't hurt that, like, of the group of friends we have that go here, basically every panel every day has one of us on it. Mm-hmm. Which is awesome, and we're super blessed. So I was on a couple panels. Bruce, you were on a couple panels. Bethany's down here in Atlanta for the weekend. She was on a few panels. Bethany and I each hosted one of the Peter Mayhew and Daniel Logan panels. I was just looking at the video of it. It was a great time, but we can't possibly recap like the whole convention. So here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to specifically highlight the Star Wars Rebels panel. And Bruce, if there are any favorite moments throughout the weekend, I think we could just do a couple weekend highlights of it. And then, Bruce, I think you got to bounce after that, right?
Yeah, we'll see how we do on time. We'll see if my wife yells for me to come up.
All right, we'll just wait. We're listening and waiting. So this is kind of how it works. The same weekend that all of this was happening, we had Fan Expo in Canada where they had official Rebels presence. However, in attendance to Dragon Con, as he is every year, was Timothy Zahn. But also in attendance for his second year was Henry Gilroy, one of the writers on Star Wars Rebels. So they put together this is a great example of kind of how the programming here works. They put together a fan panel hosted by Bria Lavorna. She's at Chaos Bria on Twitter. And she hosted the panel with Bethany and Aaron Goins of Star Wars Bookworms. They were both on it, but so was Timothy Zahn, and so was Henry Gilroy. Now, nice. What's kind of funny, a little bit of brief behind the scenes. I won't spill too many secrets, but it was definitely a fan panel, and since they were doing something official up in Toronto for the Fan Expo, Henry Gilroy definitely, quote-unquote, crashed the panel. So I'm very glad that he Henry was amazing to do that. But essentially, he showed up, and so what essentially happened was just a discussion of Star Wars Rebels, but with, like, how about let's talk about the portrayal of Thrawn, but let's just have, in Star Wars Rebels, but have Timothy Zahn talk about it. How about that? Only, mm-hmm. How about sitting next to the TV writer who wrote the character in Rebels, which, by the way, that had to be nerve-wracking if you're Henry Gilroy.
So did they do that twice? Because I didn't go to the Rebels panel, but I was on the panel for Thrawn, and we had Timothy Zahn, and Henry crashed that one, too.
Very similar. Very similar. Yep. Absolutely. Nice. Absolutely. So... and this is all in like the quote unquote Star Wars room. It's the Marriott A706, which is like where the gang of us hang out. And so like that panel was awesome. It had Timothy kind of giving his commentary on Thrawn facing off with the Bindu and the idea that Thrawn has to be this kind of super villain, but the only way he can be threatened or have a real challenge or rival without seeming to be too, what's the word, inquisitory, mm-hmm. to make him still be threatening, he has to encounter a force that he just doesn't understand, like the Bindu. And so they talked a lot about season 3 and how that went down. That was awesome. Also, Bria happened to bring her space hashtag space married shirt, so that was pretty good.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she
space
has
married.
Yeah, so the hashtag space married movement, the Canara shipping. This she brought a T-shirt.
Totally
literally
down with that.
Literally put it on for the panel with with Henry
nice.
Gilroy right there.
Well played,
which was amazing. But like Henry, the nice thing about Henry Gilroy is that he doesn't like, what's the word? He doesn't. He will honestly tell you what he can tell you about the future without just like skirting around it and giving the same canned answer. Although stay tuned for season 4 kind of became its own bit. Stay tuned for season 4. But you know, because of that, I really enjoyed it because it's the best of both worlds. It was Aaron and Bethany kind of jumping into the conversation, making it just a more, well, frankly, honest and fan-oriented approach. And that's a good example of the kind of panel. But, like, there's all kinds of stuff. There was a feminism in Star Wars. There's a masculinity in Star Wars panel with a bunch of authors that was awesome. There was the Thrawn panel Monday that you mentioned, Bruce. There was...
I did the Legends to Canon panel.
Yep, Bruce.
I wish Mark was on.
I know, right?
Fun.
Right?
Fun.
So, I don't...
Bruce, you represented, bro. You did it.
Yeah.
You did it. Yeah, and actually we had some people come up. There was one guy, and I think he's like big into the Bring Back Legends thing. Someone told me that.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, he came up, and he thanked the panel for respecting Legends and canon as equally important.
Look,
we didn't dog one and say, oh, Legends
Bruce,
doesn't count anymore or anything like that.
Bruce, you could now solve world peace.
Absolutely. I'm very diplomatic. I learned it from Captain Picard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm more of a Cisco. I'll punch him in the head.
Well, what's funny, I don't know. I actually, the reason this is top of mind, I just finished putting together a blog post about it, and it's on the Star Wars Report blog right now, along with a bunch of photos I took with some kind of cool pictures of the Star Wars room and stuff. We're going to have a lot of stuff on the Star Wars Report blog throughout this week to kind of get an inside look on the Star Wars programming. And of course, for me, like the big personal highlight was hosting the Peter Mayhew, Daniel Logan panel. I had a great time. I really, really appreciate everyone who came and helped out and volunteered and set everything up and took video and pictures. It was a blast. Bruce, any highlights jump out to you for DragonCon this year?
Well, you were mentioning the panel there about Peter and Daniel, and you and Daniel kind of hit it off pretty well. I mean, he shared something with you on the panel and then picked on you the next day. So,
boy, did he.
what were you trying on when you moderated the panel? What did he let you try on?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He let me put on the Boba Fett helmet that he was carrying around the whole convention.
Nice.
And it was amazing. It was awesome.
Did it smell?
Also, you can learn... Yes. Yes, it did. Oh, boy, did it.
Smell like epicness.
Yeah.
And then Bethany hosted the panel the next day, and he was picking on Riley for being the younger brother and,
yeah.
and that...
No, I was just the punching bag.
The convention.
Yeah, no, I was just the punching bag that whole second panel. He's like, yeah, I got... He was jibbing at me for getting downgraded to cameraman because I was taking pictures of Bethany.
Nice, yes.
But it was all in good fun. It was all in good fun.
That's awesome.
And Bruce, like
that's
you said...
awesome, though. I mean, come on. It's Daniel Logan, man. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Bruce, yeah, when's he coming on the show? We got to get him on here.
I know. We're going to get him on.
Let's light this bromance afire.
Yeah, well, and evidently, like, there's no other way of putting this, but according to Daniel, I'm not lending any credence to the rumors, but according to Daniel Logan, I might be a little gay for Boba Fett, and that's what he said. That's all he said. It's funny. You just have to listen to the audio. You just have to listen to. I have. The sad thing is, I wasn't able to get board audio. From the built-in mics, but there is a bunch of footage, so I'm going to be putting together a whole video of our weekend experience and posting that, and I'll include some of the highlights of the panel and the craziness and the story of all of the miniature Big Feet, if there's such a thing. You'll have to listen to it.
I have no idea what that is.
Yep. Nope. It's a story we tell on the panel. What else? Bruce, you also you moderated the Legends and Lore panel, but you're on a couple other panels. Any other of the Star Wars things jump out to you?
I was on Remembering Carrie Fisher and Kenny Baker with several other people, and we were in a big room, but the room didn't fill. I think they expected a huge crowd, but we still got a good sizable amount of people that came to that one. So we just kind of reminisced, if you know, we met them at conventions and what their characters meant to us. Also, well, I don't know what else I was on. Of course, we did. Well, there's two things you and I did together. One was the entertainment for the costume contest, the Star Wars costume contest, and we did Shakespeare, the Clone Army Attacketh.
Oh, yeah. Now,
I heard Riley was a dry performance. Bruce, how would you gauge your own?
You know what? On a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being the best in acting, as Anakin, I'd give him a 1, but as a performer, I'd give him a 9.
Ooh. I'll take nice. It. I'll take it.
He was not the wooden Anakin. You know?
No, I was... Listen, this is Shakespeare and Star Wars.
He's like, "Sand getteth everywhere!" I mean, shouting to the point that they had to turn down his mic because
they shut off my mic. They literally shut off my mic because I was being so loud.
Oh my god, that's great.
Yeah, no, and no, that was a lot of fun.
Sir Blatton, mic breaker.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, because we were sharing a mic, and all of a sudden, because I was playing Obi-Wan, and we would pass the mic, and all of a sudden, I was noticing I'm not as loud. I'm Obi-Wan. I'm trying to speak louder into the mic, and I'm, you know, and it's like, why isn't it as loud? And finally, Riley turns out, he goes, "I think they turned down the mic because of me."
And I definitely confirmed that. Just now, or not just now, but right after the panel.
Right after, yeah, they came up and they said, "Yeah, the other room was complaining you were too loud."
Yeah, that too.
Oh man,
no, it
and
was.
Then we were the entertainment for the costume contest. We did not have an Ewok fall off the stage like last year,
tragically. But,
yes, but it was. It went pretty good. We got Riley wasn't there, but in the feedback at the last day of Dragon Con, we had two people get up and say that they really enjoyed the entertainment and they want that back next year.
Nice.
Those poor souls. Hey, it was kind of a proof of it was one of those times where I would say, but it was half and half. Like, it wasn't great to me at all, but we were just trying to fill time while the judges deliberated, and sometimes that goes as long as 20 minutes. We went about just over, I asked someone who actually was looking at their watches, like, we went 10, 12 minutes, Bruce. It felt a lot longer on stage.
Oh, my gosh, it did. I had no idea. I was thinking it was at least 20 minutes. But one person that came up at the feedback at the end of Dragon Con said that they they liked when we did the game where the best Yoda imitation, and then they said, we want more of that. There's more characters to imitate. And I thought, duh, yeah, we could have said, somebody come up and do your best Wookiee roar or whatever. We could have,
yeah.
But we were floundering at the end, like, what do we do next? What do we do next? And also to mention, if you follow Kay on Twitter, her handle is @geek_K. She was doing it with us.
Yes.
She's a big cosplayer.
She's awesome. She was as Adam's family. What's her name on the Adam's family? She was cosplaying that
Wednesday
day.
Adams?
Mrs. Adams? Whatever.
Morticia?
Yes.
Morticia,
yes.
Yes, the wife.
Well,
yeah,
played.
Morticia.
Yes.
So she's on fangirlblog.com if you want to check her out.
Yeah, no, good time. And there's a lot of great people. Like, it was always, we had the crew together. It was a good time. We had a lot of really cool folks hanging out, and it's always, but it's what I love is very well fan oriented and in all the best and worst of ways, right? And that's what Dragon Con is. It's not like a convention center. It's a bunch of hotels in downtown Atlanta, and it was 80,000. They just crossed 80,000 people this year, making it the most attended Dragon Con to date.
Wow.
It just blows my mind. 80,000 people in 5 downtown hotels. It's literally just like the ballrooms and some of the, you know, little panel rooms and meeting rooms that they use for all the programming. I really only did Star Wars stuff. You did some Trek stuff, Bruce, I know, but that was it's I don't know how to say it other than it's Dragon Con, man. I love me some Dragon Con.
Yep. And, you know, one of the things I like, you said other things. So I did something with Star Trek The Next Generation, which I was just in Las Vegas for anyway. So I saw some of the cast of that again. I did some Doctor Who, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, nice. So you got around.
I don't remember what else. I got around on a few of the stuff, but the majority definitely was Star Wars.
That's the big thing that Dragon Con I'd like them to do is get more bigger Star Wars guests. Because, like, if they're getting the cast of the Star Trek shows and that stuff together, get more guests, really cool guests.
Well, at least from maybe, like, the actors from the Clone Wars, the voice actors.
Yeah, stuff like that would be really cool. Like, can you imagine, I would love, like, if they brought in, like, James Arnold Taylor and Catherine Tabor and just did some Clone Wars panels, some retrospectives or something like that. That'd be cool. I'd love that.
I mean, we had Vanessa Marshall, 2 years ago on the Peter Mayhew panel that you did.
True. Good times. Yeah. So, like I say, I'll put together a video that we'll put up on our Facebook and YouTube probably at the end of this week or early next week. It just depends on how quickly I can get to editing it, because that's really what I was doing a lot of the weekend, was just shooting a ton of video, which is always, it's my new thing, Bruce, as you know. It's absolutely my new thing. All right, 2 quick updates. I want to tell you guys before we move along that this episode is supported by you guys through Patreon at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Want to do a big shout out to everyone who supports this very program. In fact, while we were at Dragon Con, this is always kind of cool. While we were at Dragon Con, we got our newest patron. But I had literally just noticed that the email didn't process. Oh, here we go. So congratulations. Our newest patron is this week's featured patron. It's Mitch Godfrey. Thanks for pledging, Mitch. We really do appreciate it. What I'm going to do with Mitch, as I do with all the patrons, is I'll send him an email to get access to our exclusive patron-only Facebook chat group, as well as our entire backlog of episodes. And depending on what level you pledge at, you can get access to our weekly Rogue Transmissions podcast, which this past week was recorded in New York. I still haven't had time to post it, but it was our group call, our get together. So that'll be going up shortly. Good times. So again, you can support us directly. It's patreon.com/StarWarsReport, and check out all the cool bonuses we have right there. Number 2, because I've got a double plug this week, Bruce and Mark.
Only two there are.
Exactly. Bruce, what's in your backpack?
Well, there's a shirt that's in my backpack.
Oh.
You handed me a shirt in a plastic bag, and you said, here's your Porg shirt.
Yeah.
And I put it in the backpack, and I think it was like Friday, and it's still in the backpack.
Oh.
Is it Porg-tastic, Bruce? Bruce.
Is it?
Porg, you glad you got it?
You know what? I'm going to just tell you how Riley can be a jerk sometimes. when we were doing the entertainment for the costume contest, anytime there's something where Riley's not sure what to do, he would turn to me, "So, Bruce," and he'd ask me a question. So, and he does that on the show too.
That's true. I was gonna say there's hard evidence of this happening.
He's like, so there we are, standing in front of like 500 people waiting for the results of this costume contest of Star Wars characters. And he says, "So, Bruce, tell us your thought on the Porgs." And I'm like, "Great."
Oh, here's your audience. Oh, God. Kill the Porg movement now, Bruce. Do it now.
They're all just staring at me. And I'm like, I first said, "Look, I love Porgs. I really do. I do think they're cute, and I'm interested to see in the movie. But I am just kind of getting a little sick of hearing about Porgs all the time." And they're all just looking at me. I couldn't tell if they were mad or if they were happy. But then some guys started applauding. So I had some support in the
audience. Yeah, you did have some scattered applause.
But I thought you were gonna say he got one of those big Target ones and had it delivered.
But then, Bruce, the other thing was you asked the audience the question, "Who here has heard of the Porgs and knows what these are?" And it was only like half the room.
Oh, yes. Really?
A lot of people raised their hand, didn't know what Porgs were, or vice versa, or whatever. But it was, yeah, half the room didn't know what Porgs were. And I think someone shouted, "No spoilers." And we were like, "Are we really saying about Porgs spoilers?"
No spoilers.
That's great.
No spoilers. Well, I'll tell you what. If you have heard of Porgs and you like Porgs, you should go to StarWarsReport.com/Porgs because, you know, we have this amazing Porg t-shirt. It's an exclusive to Star Wars Report listeners and audience members that we are producing ourselves in-house. Riley's just literally working with a local t-shirt shop, and I'm printing them up and selling them now. So the way this works is I'm only able to do it in waves so that I know how many shirts to order at a time. Because, listen, we're not some big, you know, multinational million-dollar business where we can just order hundreds and hundreds of inventory. No, it's Riley, who does a podcast and lifeguards and is still waiting for his military orders. And his paycheck. So, like, literally, so this is how it works. You literally go to that page, and there's a really simple Google form where you just plug in your email and your mailing address. And then I just literally email you and send you the PayPal information so that you can just literally PayPal me, and I'll get you in. And we have a window of time. So, by September 8th, that's this Friday, as you're listening to it, we are closing orders for this batch. So, if you've seen pictures of me and Bethany or author extraordinaire Delilah S. Dawson, who demanded one of these things, wearing this amazing Last Porg poster parody shirt where you have Plook Skywalker and Porglo Ren and Ray Por and the Porg Ray, it's amazing. So, again, go to StarWarsReport.com/Porgs, StarWarsReport.com/Porgs, fill out the form, get in on it. You've got until September 8th for this particular batch of shirts. Get your order in while we are taking them up. I'm probably going to, just depending on what demand is, I might be able to do one or two more rounds, but it just really depends on how many we can put together to actually make it financially feasible to do. So the details of shipping, the email, and PayPal, it's all there on that page, StarWarsReport.com/Porgs.
And if you happen to listen to these shows and you're behind and it's now October and you're finally listening to this and you're like, "Oh man, it's been a month. I missed the whole thing. I could have ordered a shirt." Let me know. I might have an extra one for you.
Bruce, do you need to get out of here yet?
Do you want me to leave? I can leave anytime you want.
Shirt and I'm gonna go now.
I'm just gonna keep Bruce, I'm just gonna keep going until you hang up.
Just keep going.
All right.
When you throw to me and I don't answer, you know I'm gone.
So while we were at Dragon Con, the Rebels season 4 trailer dropped. Let's take a listen / watch.
Ezra!
What happened?
Lothra, Lothcat, Lothwolf, run. Pick a path and all is done.
A riddle.
What's the status of the Imperial occupation?
Mandalore's under complete lockdown. War's raging.
It's time for you to prove your loyalty. Not just to your family,
but to all of Mandalore.
If you continue to allow this war to be fought on the Empire's terms, you are going to lose.
We are not ready for open war.
What about Lothal? We promised my people support.
You can run Mon Mothma's errands, or do something that might actually matter.
Your tie to fandom is at risk. Krennic has been quite persuasive about his own project. Stardust.
What about the blockade and Admiral Thrawn?
Are you confident your ship can get in and out undetected?
We don't call it the Ghost for nothing.
Woo! Got him!
Captured Captain Syndulla.
It will be done.
Oh snap.
Ezra, it's not whether or not we fight.
He sounds different.
It's how we choose to fight that matters. I know, Kanan. Maybe we're choosing the wrong way.
Thanks for being.
When are you going to feel you've done enough for this rebellion?
I guess I never really thought about it.
So I guess you really never thought about us.
Don't move!
Oh, I'm moving.
We will not stand down. We will not be broken by fear. We are strong, united by our courage. Now is our time.
I wish I could see you.
You could always see me.
All the paths are coming together, right?
I'm just not sure if we're going to like where they lead.
Mm. All right, guys.
Lead me home.
They're gonna die. They're all gonna die. Yeah. I'm calling it right now.
We get to see the war raging on Mandalore again. Like,
yep.
That's kind of cool because, you know, Mandalorians were always warriors. So to see him kind of one more time being forced into that role, it's kind of cool.
I'll tell you what, man. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the whole trailer. I mean, it's a really good trailer.
We get Thrawn, or not Thrawn, we get Saw actually looking closer to his Rogue One counterpart. And what I think is really interesting, like, he's pushing for new tactics, but it's Sabine and the Mandalorians, it seems to be, that he's trying to convince to come to his way of things. I mean, as we know, he's closer to the terrorist label in the Empire's eyes than, say, Phoenix Squadron, just because of his tactics. I mean, he's okay with taking flechette launchers into an innocent crowd just to shoot up them and Imperials.
Also, evidently, you can take out TIE fighters with jetpacks. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of wolves. What'd you think of the wolves, Bruce? You can tell Dave Filoni is definitely a big fan of the wolf imagery.
Do you know, I tweeted Dave Filoni when he sent something out showing the picture of a wolf in the background and a Lothcat up front. I said, it's a wolf in Lothcat clothing.
I see what you did there. That was very fan servicey. Not necessarily in the worst of ways, but you know, people love the Lothcats and it's a big thing, and people love the wolves.
They're cute. Why don't people talk about Lothcats like they do porgs? I mean,
they used to. I think people that go to Disneyland and Disney World and the Disney resorts, they're still able to see them. So, you know, it still is a thing. It's just not at Walmart. And that's the big question. Why isn't it Target, Walmart, Toys R Us? I mean, we've got giant porgs. Where are the Lothcats? Hashtag, where's the Lothcat?
Right.
Yeah, right?
Did you see any at Walmart, Riley? You were just there. That's why we had to delay the show.
I sure was. I sure did. I sure did.
I like when Saul says, if you follow Mon, you can follow Mon Mothma's errands or do something that actually matters.
I like that line. And we get to see some of the Death Troopers from Rogue One show up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's totally a cool moment. Yeah, there's a lot of Rogue One stuff. And this is what I wanted to ask you guys is, you know, we've got Krennic mentioned, and it seems like Krennic's now a new thorn in Thrawn's side there. You know, the Defender project's being derailed because of Stardust. Is that, you think that's something they're doing because originally it was like one of those things where, you know, you don't want him to become the new Exisier with Vader, you know?
Yeah.
And him being so smart, you don't want him to be the thorn in Vader's side, so we're going to have to give him out Krennic?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. But it's interesting to see this sort of weird combination where the thrust seems to be Thrawn, but he'll probably be pitted against Krennic, at least with a lot of this Rogue One imagery that we're seeing with the Death Troopers and then with Saw Gerrera. And then we see Rook show up and get the orders. I got a little audio clip right here.
Woo! Got him!
Captured Captain Syndulla.
It will be done.
There he is. And you get to see some action with Rook fighting Syndulla.
Was that Warwick Davis then? Because isn't he doing the voice?
Yeah.
Sure was. And we get to see, like, it's a fisticuffs fight between Rook and Hera in a flight suit.
And what if this eventually ends up passing episode 4? I mean, you know, the reason why Thrawn is never a threat to Krennic, you know, Krennic doesn't think of Thrawn as a threat because he's more focused on Tarkin. So, you know, what if he's dead before Thrawn really has to worry about it? What if we just barely, you know, like, what if those events are coinciding, like, as this season plays out?
Yeah, no, I could see that. We also kind of, they really do just confirm space married. What about us? Did you ever think about us?
Yeah,
Space married. I wish I could see you. They're basically banging you over the head with.
That makes sense though, because you know they're playing it to the chest. You know they're not going to openly come out, but they're totally shipping. You know, Filoni's got to be shipping at this point. You know, Filoni, he's one of those guys. You know, he's a bleeding heart. Of course, he's shipping this.
Yeah. No. That makes. Sorry, I'm kind of going point by point. There's this really cool shot of Zeb fighting what looks like a Bosk. What's the species? Bosk.
The Trandoshans?
Yeah, it's a Trandoshan, but like in a construction uniform, which is interesting to say the least. And then we have, I really think that the shots of the wolves in this sort of surreal dreamlike state, that's probably from the season finale.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do. I think because I could totally see them going a sort of poetic, bittersweet ending, very much like Clone Wars season 5, not season 6, but like with the way Ahsoka left the Order, which is again.
Can we have a split season?
No, this is it. No? Season 4, and they're done.
Yeah, but you don't think they can do like a mid-season break with a big bang episode and then come back for the last five?
Well, and that's what they did last time. Yeah, they'll go through like sometime into the. It starts in October, so they'll probably go sometime into December and split it up.
So what do you think of what we saw would probably be that episode then? Maybe the Thrawn and the Defender stuff?
I could see that. It's really
maybe
hard to
Rogue
say.
One is what. Maybe that's the point. We get to the Rogue One point, and that's the break off, and then we come back after the events of Rogue One for the rest of the season. I'm just, of course, going out on a limb, but I do like the fact that Ezra is like, it's not how we fight; it's how we choose to fight. I know, Kanan. Maybe we're choosing the wrong way. I'm just like, ooh. What the heck did that mean? You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are like, you know, really dark, thinking Ezra or Kanan or all of them are gonna die. I've thought Hera might die in the past. I mean, what are you guys thinking here? They're all gonna
dies,
get away?
No, I think everyone dies except Hera. I really do. I'm calling it right now. Yeah, Zeb dies. Ezra dies. I guess Chopper can't die, but Zeb dies. Ezra dies. Kanan dies.
Damn, man. I didn't think there could be anything colder than what I was thinking, but Riley.
Clip that audio.
From a very dark place.
Yeah. Bruce, what about you, man?
Well, it's a kid show. I mean, maybe, you know, one of them dies, but I don't know. I just don't have a feeling that in this type of show, they're going to kill everybody off like it's Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be some other explanation why you don't see them or something, but I don't think they'll all die.
I mean
they
killed off.
You see Kanan getting captured with the light whip, so Kanan, he might fall under,
so what are the
under
big
hands of the Imperials. And then Rook, it's like, man, you got Rook, a Nagri coming at you. Unless they're going to tone down who the Nagri were, like, I don't know if she's got the skills to stand up. I mean, we're watching her hold her own for a split second in the trailer, but Nagri are bad acts.
Yeah, Well, the reason, and what makes me say this is not just this trailer, it's this one. If you guys remember with the original season 4 trailer, it sounded
like
this. It
was a simple story.
That's right.
About a boy who was lost and a girl who was broken. They fought alongside a survivor, a war veteran, and a fallen knight. I led them into battle against an evil so terrible it tried to black out the stars. We fought for each other. We fought for those who could not. But we never imagined it would end like this.
Right?
Mm. Yeah. You dirty, dirty Dark Lord.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
Well,
I can't believe that you might be onto this. I mean, I was going in some dark routes thinking somebody had to die. And that's why I thought Hera would be the one. But you're right. That almost. And we know Hera doesn't die because in that pseudo aspect of the Lego universe, and they've confirmed that she is actually alive, her counterpart, that even though Legos is its own little universe, it does tie. You know, there is a canon equivalent to everything you're seeing in somehow, some fashion.
Yeah.
So that was interesting that they pointed that out. So we know she lives.
Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe everyone doesn't, but you know, people's got to die, and it's like that sounds morbid to say, but if you want to really give a harsh light on what the Empire means to the galaxy, you have to show the real human, like, emotional consequences. And listen,
when Lothal needs us most,
may the Force be with you.
Man. When Rebels is good, it's really good. I'm just putting that out there.
And if they pass A New Hope, I mean, what comes next but The Empire Striking Back? And what better way to cliff note your series, you know, than The Empire Striking Back, taking out everybody but Hera? You still have hope, but
yeah,
the family's done.
Mm. I don't, Bruce, where are you? Am I being too morbid here?
Sorry, I was listening to the new Force cast.
Yeah, that's true. They relaunched. I saw that.
No, I'm kidding. So, I don't know. I feel like so many people think that they're all going to have to die, and I feel like there's hints in the trailer that lead you to believe that. And if they want you to believe that, then that means they're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm leaning. And again, it's a cartoon. I just don't think they're going to kill everybody off. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it's
PG-13. I was saying the same thing. The only one that really goes against that in the theory is Maul, because you could say, even, you know, with the Clone Wars, they didn't kill off Ahsoka and Maul. It was like, well, what's going to happen next?
Well, it's okay to kill the bad guy, but not all the heroes. I mean, it's like, you know, watching Super Friends or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever, and then the last episode of the cartoon, they all die. I mean, my daughters would get upset if all the My Little Ponies died in the last episode.
Well, and actually, they did that with the Ninja Turtles. They had an episode where they made everyone think Donatello got beat to death while the rest of the turtles were gone. They came back and Donnie was beat to death in the metal turtles' arms. Yeah, and for like a whole summer, everyone thought that's what happened. And then they eventually brought him back and slowly rebuilt the turtle bigger, stronger. More cowabunga.
Yeah, true. Hey,
I think the only casualty is going to be Colin Trevorrow.
He was a lot to me. As you wish.
Okay, guys, it's officially time for Boba's Bounty. Each week we talk about something we did and experienced and or listened to or liked. Just something that we're enjoying about Star Wars as a fan. My dear Lord, I hope this segment goes better than it did last week. actually, no, it did, because we had Dragon Con. So there's so many awesome Star Wars experiences that we have now to talk about. But let's Mark Herleman, I will let you lead us off. What were you up to Star Wars-y this week?
Well, while we were recording this podcast, delivered to my front door was the BB-8 On the Run
novel.
not really a novel, but it's a kid's novel. We find out how he got in the clutches of that Tito.
I'm flipping.
Actually, it's got some backstory. I'm kind of surprised.
I'm flipping kind of through impressed. It right now, actually, Mark. Funny enough.
It's an impressive. I like the cover, too. It's got a different cover than the actual dust jacket itself. It's kind of neat. In the era of Force Friday goodies and goodness, I didn't head down. Last year's Force Friday, or Rogue Friday, I should say, and the Force Friday before that, were both pretty much washed. It was about me and two other people. Six other people the first one, two other people when we went to Rogue Friday. So I didn't go to this one. And then when I went down, you know, later, because when I went to the last two, both times, the Walmart didn't put half the stuff out until about noon the next day. So I couldn't get it all anyway. So I was kind of like, well, I'll just come back later. And, you know, because I was only looking for a few things, because I got the I think it was the San Diego Comic-Con Thrawn exclusive, the really cool one. I've got that one. So yeah. Looking for Thrawn and all the hard places that I'm not having to do. And so I went down and I went to the regular, you know, spot where the Star Wars stuff is. And of course, the shelves are all bare with the first Force Friday toys still sitting on the shelf. I'm like, really? Nothing? Like, they haven't even fluffed this area up? Nothing at all? Like, it's sad. So then I walk around and I'm looking for more stuff because I'm like, gotta have something, right? They had a little pallet train, as they call them, about four or five pallets together down between the cosmetics and the generic cheap toys. And I was looking, you know, they had those really, really cool light up Darth Vader and Luke Force Effects type Unleashed Black Series figures for the $50. God, I really want to get those, but right now I couldn't afford it, so I was just like, okay, I'll hold off. And then I saw they had a Hera, and then they had a Luke, and then they had two of the Jedi training Rays. And that was exactly nice. What I was looking for. So I grabbed those, and of course they had layaway just started that same day. So I'm like, cha-ching! I don't have them yet, but they're on layaway waiting for me. But then when I was out with my mom, we went out to Ross, and they had a 3-pack that came out during the Rogue Friday of Cassian, Jin, and the Death Trooper Captain, which I've wanted for that Death Trooper Captain, because when I got the Death Trooper himself, I was like, man, I wish it was a Captain, right? So my mom got it for me like for a heck of a deal, man. It was only like $9 for all three. So I'm like, nice. That gave me an excuse to bust open my son's broken K2SO, the neck broke. So I've got Cassian holding on to that while Jin's like working on his body. My son noticed it today. He's like, oh, that's pretty cool, Dad. I like what you did there. I'm like, good. I'm glad. Because, you know, I couldn't return it because you can't find that figure anywhere. You know, you're looking for Zuvio or whatever his name is, he's everywhere. But yeah.
True. Hey, Zuvio is the Yarna of a couple years ago. I always remember those swinging on the pegs. Bruce, you weren't really doing Force Friday because you were at Dragon Con, but any big Star Wars-y stuff this week? I know we touched on a lot of it in the Dragon Con segment.
Yeah. Well, I somewhat did Force Friday. I think so Matt Rushing and his wife Danae stayed with me they were for Dragon Con. I think it was Saturday morning. We went to a Target and a Walmart and a Kohl's, and
nice.
I wasn't impressed. I mean, we didn't buy anything. Kohl's barely had anything.
Yeah.
And of course, I know it's Saturday morning. It's after Force Friday. But yeah, there really wasn't much of anything. But later on Sunday, my wife sends me all these pictures of tons of Star Wars stuff at a Target down the road. So the one closest to me hardly had anything, but there was one not far from me that had tons of stuff and
nice.
Big displays and stuff, where mine didn't have any big displays. But anyway, but I did at Dragon Con, I got a Episode One, The Phantom Menace comic adaption that Henry Gilroy signed for me.
Nice.
And Leia, Princess of Alderaan book that just came out on Force Friday. That was signed by Claudia Gray.
Nice.
And Phasma.
Nice.
That came out on Friday was signed by Delina Dawson, because we had both authors were at Dragon Con and we had a party that night to celebrate and introduce their books. And so they were selling their books there and signing them. So we had a nice little party going on.
Nice. That's that
See,
was
my Walmart was the same. They didn't have any of the Hot Wheels figures, which I was hoping to get some of those ships. None. I was like, where are those at? Are
I swung by.
I guess it was like that across the globe.
You guys know me. I swung by Target today just to look. Target and Walmart. Target by far had the better stuff because they have this really cool Force Friday kind of display where you can go put your hand forward, and this giant standee of Rey has a plastic lightsaber that lights up when you put your hand forward, like it's a force push. And nice. They had plush porgs that were $40. $40 for a plush porg. Listen,
how big was this one, though?
It's like, you know, a foot, like 10 inches.
Okay, but this isn't the one that's almost 4 feet, right?
No.
I saw, like even those, Jimmy Mack managed to win one of those in a raffle, but it's like, I've seen those going on sale already for $200 being.
Yeah, those weren't
like,
even
oh
for sale.
God.
They did, like, giveaways and prizes at certain Targets doing those giant life-size ones. Yeah, so that was a... That's cool. I didn't buy anything because you guys know me far too well. Because there's so much Star Wars stuff that happened, I'm having a hard time narrowing it down because like I had something in the back of my brain and then it just totally left me. Hang on, it's coming. It's coming. I promise it's coming. Oh, you know what? It's this, as far as like experiences at Dragon Con itself goes, I talked to you guys a lot about the actual convention and some of the cosplay and stuff like that. One of my favorite moments was these two cosplayers that were at the Rebels panel. And I just remember this really jumped out to me as pretty awesome. They had a cosplaying Blind Kanan and Admiral Price.
Nice.
And they were, it was amazing. And I took some pictures of them. Those probably, as far as the cosplay, it was just really cool to see Rebels represented in the Star Wars world. You know also what there was a shocking lack of, much to Bruce's delight at Dragon Con? Cosplay porgs. I didn't see a single porg cosplay the entire weekend. I'm so disappointed.
Interesting.
I don't think I did either. You're right.
My friends that used to own the comic store that went on, now they travel to cons and sell buttons. They sent me pictures of some of theirs. They're like, we're trying to do some porg buttons. So I sent them pictures of different porgs that were around and stuff. And they're like, well, what do you think of these? I'm like, oh, those look awesome. I can't wait to get one.
Nice. There you go. That's definitely mine. Ladies and gentlemen, it's hard to believe, but that just about puts the wraps on this week's episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. I can't believe it ended so quickly. How the time flies. We've learned a lot. We've learned that Henry Gilroy's awesome. We've learned that... Mark, I gotta say, it doesn't sound as much of a bust as you were describing. Like, when you compare, at least there were more people participating.
Well, the bust for me was just the fact that there was so much stuff that wasn't there. You know, I'd go to all the stores in town, and it's like the fact that there was no Hot Wheels, no Micro Machines, anything like that. You know, it's like, where is all this stuff? Yeah. Clearly, it's a Target. I think Target and Toys R Us definitely win the Force Friday, hands down. But unfortunately for me, they don't have one. So next year, I've already made the decree. I am going to travel my butt the 37 miles to be one of the first in line at Target to experience Target success. Because I did do the Episode 3 Target extravaganza when they had the exclusive foil finish Anakin and Obi-Wan on Mustafar fighting. I have that sitting right here down below my kneecap. It's pretty awesome. In fact, I need to pull that out.
Yeah, true. We've learned that everyone's going to die in Rebel Season 4. You heard it here first.
Oh, no! This is going to die!
And we've learned that, man... Dragon Con's a thing. That was a whole thing. So that's an episode. Hey guys, make sure that you stay tuned for future episodes. We've got a lot of cool stuff coming up in the very near future. Of course, thanks to everybody supporting us directly at Patreon. You can do so at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And of course, everyone who's supporting us by buying one of the awesome Last Porg t-shirts, go check out StarWarsReport.com/porgs. StarWarsReport.com/porgs. By this Friday the 8th of September, we want to get those orders in pronto. And I've still got a couple last stragglers that I need to get the shipping out as well. So make sure you do that. StarWarsReport.com/porgs. You can check us out. Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Twitter.com/StarWarsReport. And of course, if you're not subscribed to the Star Wars Report YouTube channel, we got some cool stuff coming there as well. So Star Wars Report on YouTube. Everything you can whatever want to find. StarWarsReport.com. Find Mark Herleman at Illogical Rogue 2. Mr. Bruce Gibson is at Admiral_Rex on the Twitter, and I am at the Riley Guy, R-I-L-E-Y, on Twitter, as well as Instagram and Snapchat and all those things. So make sure you give us all a follow right there and check out the links to everything we talked about on this week's episode, episode 297, on the blog at StarWarsReport.com. That's where you're going to find all of the awesome Dragon Con write-ups and coverage and photos. We got a ton of photos and stuff that we'll be posting throughout the week, so just stay tuned to all the social channels. And without further ado, I think... Have I missed anything, Bruce, Mark, or am I forgetting something? I think we're good. That's an episode, right?
Good.
That's an episode.
Porg shirts. They're porgtastic.
It's, yep. It's, and we know what they sound like now. That too. Yep. Hey, episode
vicious 200, little teeth.
Episode 297 in the can. Until next week, we'll see you guys later. Remember, many porgs died to bring you this podcast. You stuck around for the whole show.
I did. What? I have a little bonus feature real quick.
Oh, yeah.
We're still recording. So some of the canon authors at Dragon Con mentioned that they had each proposed at some point to add a Bothan into their stories, and Lucasfilm says Bothans cannot be used.
Which, you know what that means. We know what that means.
Which means maybe we're going to see a Bothan someday
in a
Star Wars movie
show. I'm saying seven Bothans for seven brothers is the Star Wars film, is the next spinoff movie. It's happening.
So, you blew my mind, man. Like
yeah, that's true. They said that.
We're going no Bothans because they are deciding like maybe they don't want to go with the Legends version of how Bothans look.
We don't know why.
They're doing like when they said they're going to leave the post Return of the Jedi era off limits is in the aspect of maybe the Emperor does what the Sith Emperor did in the Legacy comics where he wiped out all the Mon Calamari. Maybe we find out that the Bothans got wiped out. Maybe when she means many Bothans died, she means like all of them.
I don't know, maybe, but I think one of them, I don't recall which author said it, said they just were going to mention there was a Bothan in the background, like mentioned.
Yeah, that was Claudia Gray.
So Claudia Gray said she was going to put a Bothan, and they said, nope, you can't mention Bothans.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no, you ain't Bothaning it up here.
All right, we're done.